Amen. That's going to be a day, isn't it? Thank the Lord for that. I appreciate so much the good singing this morning. And Brother Danny, amen, that was great. Praise God. And Chuck, I'm telling you right now, praise God. Ivan Parker ain't got nothing in the world on you, praise God. That was great, buddy. I appreciate it. And choir, thank you. That was wonderful singing this morning. Good to see all of you this morning. How you feeling this morning? Everybody all right? Say amen. I appreciate you being here in the house of the Lord. We've had a good week. And for those of you who've been praying for my wife and the ladies that went with her to New Mexico, they got there in 2 days. And they've had a great time since then, and been to one of the largest powwows in the nation. Gathered Native Americans and visited reservations and a lot of things they've done. While she's been gone, I tore the kitchen, slam of pieces. It's all over the house. What I thought was going to take me all week, Russ and Brother Dennis came over, and they tore completely out all of our cabinets and a wall and everything in a half a day. And they have really been a help this week. I appreciate them and all they've done. And then thank you for praying for revival. Been driving back and forth to revival in Henderson last week, and God met with us. Pastor and those folk there said it's the best revival we've ever had, and God did meet with us. I appreciate you praying for us. And I've been going there for many, many years. It's one of the best we've ever had. But God met with us. I appreciate you praying for us. I got a lot of announcements I'm going to wait and share right at the close of the service just real quickly if I can. But I do want to say this while we're on the radio. Tonight here at the church, we have our fifth Sunday night sing. And tonight it's a Gaither-type singing. We'll have all of our singers up here on the platform. And I don't say this just because I'm a pastor here, but we've got best singing in the world right here. Don't you believe that? Amen. I do. And then we've had so many people come through and people from all over the country and testify about how God's blessed this church with beautiful singing and musical talent. And we're looking forward to the night. You'll be back tonight. Just the Gaither type singing starts at 6:30 tonight. Let me invite all our friends in the radio and the internet audience to come be back here for that. And then I'll go ahead and announce several things coming up in the month of May. Mother and Daughter Banquet will be on the 11th. Second Saturday of May will be our men's fellowship. And it'll be the last one for our little summer break. And let's pray and try to have 50 here if we possibly can. And you invite friends, bring your neighbors, everybody, fill the fellowship hall up with men. We meet at 8 o'clock and only be there just a little over an hour. Good meal together, fellowship, and Bible devotion together. And then on May the 11th, of course, is Mother and Daughter Banquet. See Miss Deborah Tippett if you want to be a part of that. Vacation Bible School is coming up in July. Please sign up at the back for that. And, of course, the rehearsal Brad's already mentioned, but on the back there, there's a list of things that we need for props. And so if you out yard selling or wherever you're going, look, there are a lot of items you can do. And we'll share more about that a little bit later on. But I want to invite all of the general public to be with us. During the month of June, we have camp meeting. We begin on the 10th, and we go through Thursday night, the 14th. And on Friday night, Thursday night, we will present the Peter's Eyes Easter drama again, and on Friday night as well. But I need to encourage you, if you're in the radio audience, internet audience, or if you're here this morning and you want to try to get it on Friday night, please call the office. We want to go ahead and try to get all that night booked up. And if you want to do that, it'd be a blessing. And then look in the bulletin. And there's so many wonderful things happening. We'll be participating in the Benson statewide singing convention this year. We're going to be doing the morning service down there for them. And then we're going to have the singing cooks here on June the 9th, on Saturday night. We're going to have the Wisnets July the 4th. We'll start at 4:30. We have hot dogs, hamburgers for everybody that comes. And then we'll have Mercy's Cross. We'll be singing at 5:30, and then the Wisnets around 6. And then on July the 22nd, Ivan Parker will be here on a Sunday night. So we've got a lot of things going on through the summer. I'll make some other announcements in a few minutes, but I'm glad that you're here. Find in your Bible, please, the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. While you're turning there, I want to say a very special welcome to all our friends in the radio audience and in the internet audience. But for our guests who are here today, appreciate you being here. We have Ryan with us today over here with Mitchell and Sylvia. He's a truck driver, and I want you to remember to pray for him. Glad that Scotty's visiting over here on this side and other guests that I hadn't had a chance to meet yet. We're glad that all of you are here in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate you being here. I want to encourage you to be ready if you hadn't already voted early. in the May 8th primary, as well as the vote on the marriage amendment. Now, when you vote for the marriage amendment, you're voting for the biblical principle of marriage between a man and a woman. You're voting for that. So I want to encourage you to participate in that and do that. Now, I have one verse this morning to read as a text, but then a lot of verses I want you to turn to this morning. If you will, please look in the book of 1 Samuel and let me read to you verse chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being here this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. I pray, God, this morning that, God, that you would bless. I ask, God, for that anointing that will make the difference. Speak to hearts. God, I pray not just to ears, but to hearts this morning. I ask the Holy Ghost of God to help me. I pray, God, that if there's a lost man, a woman, a boy, a girl here in the building or in the media audience somewhere, I pray, God, that you'd speak to them. Draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And then, Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd speak to the heart of every believer. Our Father, you've blessed us in so many ways. Our Father, we could never count all of our blessings. Our Father, just to thank you for salvation would take for all eternity. But our Father, to thank you for the precious word of God that now is before me, I want to thank you. And I pray, God, this morning that God, the word of God, will become more endeared to the heart of the believers. And God, we have purpose in our heart to spend more time, our Father, feasting on the riches of your word. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I always enjoy dedicating babies. And most of the time when I do, I read 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah had no children and she prayed and God answered a prayer and gave her a son named Samuel. And she said, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. And that's exactly what she did. When you come to chapter number 3, she's already done that. And as a young boy, he ministered in the tabernacle. And then he eventually became the chief priest and over all of Israel. And God blessed him that way. And so when you come here to chapter number 3 and verse 21, it says that God spoke to him in Shiloh. Now, when they came across the river and came into the promised land, God had told them to set up the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was where they worshiped and where they offer their offerings and where God met with them. And so they came to a place called Shiloh. It's north of Jerusalem. And that's where they erected the tent of meeting. That's where they erected the tabernacle. Shiloh means to rest, to rest. And so here they came to a place called Shiloh to rest. But if you turn in your Bible this morning, you don't need to do it, but let me just give you the reference. If you looked in your Bible this morning in the book of Genesis, and in the book of Genesis in chapter number 49 in verse 10, you'd find that Shiloh also is a name given to Messiah, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Shiloh. He said a lawgiver would never depart from the family of David until Shiloh came. Shiloh was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said he is our rest. David said he's become my salvation, my strength, and my song. And Jesus is our rest. We rest in him. It means that we find in him every need supplied. Everything regarding our salvation, we rest on him. The old song says, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, Jesus, I come. It's only his blood that saves us, and we rest completely in that work. And so that word Shiloh is a place of where the tabernacle was set up. It's also a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it's also a position. That word Shiloh means to rest or to recline. It's the very same word that's used in the Song of Solomon, a very similar root word, and it means to rest or recline. In the book of the Song of Solomon, it talks about the bride, and it said, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Now, that means more than just kind of leaning. I see people sitting in church services sometimes, and they love one another, and they kind of lean on one another. I see children leaning on mamas, and I see people just reclining or leaning together, just touching one another that way. But that word Shiloh means more than that. It has to do with the idea of a complete rest. Leaning has to the idea that all of their weight is on him. It means that he's carrying the load. It means that when you come to Christ, you don't try to save yourself. You don't do part of the saving. You do let him do all the saving. You cast all your cares on him. You totally recline on him. And in this Song of Solomon, when he says that she is reclining or leaning on him, it means that he's bearing all of her weight. And he bore all of our sin in his own body on the tree. And praise God, he did that for us. But it means not only is he bearing her and all of her weight, but he's bearing the toil and the trouble of the journey. It means that all the difficult terrain they had to go across, that he's the one who carries that. And you go on, you say, Brother Bill, I'm going through a dark valley. I'm going through a deep trouble right now. I've got facing a lot of problems right now. Well, when you're leaning on Jesus, he's the one who's going that way. He's the one who's going over the rough territory. He's the one that's going through the mountain, and he's simply carrying you through it. And thank God for that. Our steps are unstable. Our strength is unsure, but he's stable and he's sure, and he can carry you through. And my dear friend, to be in a place of shallow, of resting on him, it means that he's carrying all the weight of your sin. He's carrying the weight of all your problems. He's carrying the weight of the passage, the ways that you have to go. But then it means this too. It means that he also determines the direction. If you're totally leaning on him, if you're totally resting on him, it means that he is directing your path. I don't understand. Boy, that was a great song that Chuck sang this morning. I've heard it before, but I listened a little closer to the words this morning. And boy, listen, sometimes you go through things you don't understand. But he chooses the way. He chooses where we go. And sometimes you go through places you don't understand. Why in the world is all this happening? Well, it's so we'll learn to trust him. Paul writes to the book to the Corinthian church, and he says this. He said, I'm not having to be ignorant concerning the trouble that I had when I was there. He said, I was pressed down. He said, beyond strength, above measure, even despair of life. But he said, listen, for this reason, that I might not trust in myself, but trust in God. And so sometimes you go through things you don't have any answers to, and you can't understand, and you don't have to get a hold of the situation. You don't have to correct all the problem, but you've got to choose to believe. You've got to rest on him. And so shallow is a place, and shallow is a person, but shallow is a position. Now watch this. It says in this place, in that place, in that position, God revealed himself to Samuel by his word. Now people say, well, I read the Bible and don't get anything out of it. It's because you're not in the right place. It's because you're not looking to the right person. It's because you're not resting in the right position. You have to have those three aspects when you come to the word of God. You're not depending on yourself. You're not depending on your own intellect or your own experience. And can I tell you the truth? God's allowed me to preach this word for many years now, but I cannot comprehend it on my own. The Bible is not learned by instruction. It's learned by revelation. The Holy Spirit of God has to reveal the truth to you. You can memorize facts and figures, and you can know something historically about the book. But if you ever get the truth of the passage of Scripture that you're looking at, God, the Holy Ghost, will have to reveal it to you. It said this, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. But when I go to the Father, I'll send the Holy Spirit back. And he will guide you into all truth. Now watch this. He will guide you into all truth. That doesn't mean that he is a partial guide, that he'll guide you to some truth, and then you have to figure the rest of it out yourself. It means that he is exclusively the revealer of truth in every situation. You don't ever have enough experience to understand the Word of God completely. You'll never have enough intellect to understand it completely. So every element of truth that you ever get out of the Word of God, from the time you get saved to the time you go to glory, will be totally at the discretion and at the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. But what an exciting thing to know that the author of this book is there with you, and he is available to guide you into all truth. He'll help you. But my friend, you have to be in shallow. You have to be at that place where you're totally depending on him, relying on him, leaning on him. But oh, my dear friend, I want to thank God this morning for the Bible. I want to thank God for the Word of God. The Bible said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed. It's theopneustos, just like you have pneumonia. It's breathing. Breath has to do with that. It is God breathed. This book is God breathed. God gave you this book. This is not a catalog. This is not a commentary. This is God's breathed word. It's God giving us the written word. I thank God for divine inspiration, and I thank God for divine preservation. I have no doubt in my mind that this King James Bible I hold in my hand is the inspired, inerrant word of God. There's not one mistake in this book. I trust it completely. It's proved itself and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to be infallible in my own life. It's always analyzed me and completely. It's never failed me in its direction, and it's always been honest to me in its appraisal of my situation. You can trust this book and the Holy Spirit of God to use it. When man's words fail, God speaks peace to my heart through the Word of God. When I don't know which way to go, God the Holy Ghost will speak to me through this book, and I thank God for that. Thank the Lord for the Word of God. It says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God is available to every person in this building. Every person in this building who knows Christ. God, the Holy Ghost, will show you the truth of this book. And he said this, he revealed himself to Samuel through the Word of the Lord, or by the Word of the Lord. Oh, so many wonderful truths are revealed in this Bible, throughout the Bible. I'll just relish into the great truths of it. Hold your place there, Samuel. Stick your paper in there. But turn with me to several passages. Turn to the book of Revelation in chapter number 21. Let me read you a few verses here in the book of Revelation in chapter number 21. I call your attention, and we'll begin with verse number 1. Revelation 21 and verse 1. Listen to what it said. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwelleth with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He said, thank God. Listen, in this Bible, it reveals the joys of heaven. And that's just a little sampling. That's just a little sampling. When you leave this world as a saved person, you enter into the very presence of the Lord. And listen, crying is over with. Sorrow is over with. Death is over with. There are no graveyards in heaven. There are no doctors, no urgent cares in heaven. I mean, I didn't mean no doctors in heaven, April. There will be doctors in heaven. But I mean, there are no clinics. There's no need of a physical physician there. Thank God for that. But listen, you know what? God the Holy Ghost reveals in this book what heaven's all about. Wouldn't it be a sad world if you had no idea what's that channel on the other side? I can't fully comprehend it, but I do know this. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know what it said in the book of Psalms. It said in his presence is the fullness of joy forever. I do know that it says there are streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God chose to reveal some of those truths to us. But not only does he reveal in the book of Revelation the joys of heaven, but look back in Revelation chapter 20. And look at verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and he that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so the Holy Ghost of God in the Bible reveals to us not only the joys of heaven, but he reveals to us the horrors of hell. horrors of hell. I mean, awful. No way to describe it. Tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, when you get to heaven, if you're saved, there's no night there. But in hell, there's day and night. Why? Because in eternity, in heaven, my dear friend, it is eternal bliss. But in hell, there's that knowledge of the passage of time. And you understand, I'll never get out. I'll never get out. I'll never get out. Tormented day and night. In such a horrible place, the Lord said, to keep from going to hell, if you had to cut off your hand, you ought to cut off your hand. Or to pluck out your eye. The Holy Ghost of God reveals the horrors of hell. And the Word of God is revealed in the Bible. No religion can deny it. It's in the Bible, throughout the Bible. Luke chapter 16 says this about that rich man. He died and in hell. He lifted up his eyes being in torment. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Not only does the Word of God reveal to us the joys of heaven, and it reveals to us the horrors of hell, but it also reveals to us the sin of man and the fall of man. And it's kind of defined in just a few verses here by Paul in the book of Romans in chapter number 5 and verse number 12. One verse about sin and about the fall of man and the fact that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Men sin because they are sinners. That's why. You know why an apple tree has apple? No surprise, it's an apple tree. You know why an orange tree has oranges? It's an orange tree. You know why men sin? They are sinners. By nature, that's called depravity. We are totally depraved. Sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Adam sinned and sin came into the world. All his descendants have an old sin nature. And sin, the Bible said, brings forth death. Whereas by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men and that all have sinned. You can say, I haven't sinned. The Bible says that you have sinned. Now, who's true? You're the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible reveals the sin and fall of man. Not only that, it reveals the joys of heaven and the horrors of hell. But you know what? It reveals this in the Bible. It reveals the troubled history and the glorious regathering of Israel. Oh, listen, in the Word of God. Let me just show you one passage of Scripture for the sake of time. Turn back in your Old Testament, please. Find the book of Ezekiel and chapter number 28. Ezekiel chapter number 28. And I want to have you to look, if you will, please, at verse 25. Ezekiel 28 and verse 25. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. They shall dwell safely therein and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgment upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am their God, the Lord their God. Listen, this Bible reveals that about Israel. They're unique. You're unique in all of history. There's never been another nation that's been totally annihilated and yet come back. 1948, Israel became a nation again, and their land's prospering. God's blessed in that land, and it's an amazing, astounding thing. We had good friend Gary Wood and Brother Tom Robertson just over there, and they said it is, in fact, the desert's blooming like a rose. Olive trees, for instance, that in other places produce X number of olives per year. The olive trees in Israel produce somewhere around four times as many olives as they do just across the river in another land. God has blessed that land. All around the world, cows are milked most of the time twice a day. But in Israel, they have to milk their cows three times a day because of the production of milk in their own cattle. God's blessed that land, brought them back into that land. And listen, all that's in the Bible. And thank God for that. He reveals that wonderful, wonderful thing, that troubled history of Israel, but that glorious bringing back into the land. Turn in the book of Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3. And I want you to look at this. In chapter 3 and verse number 19, he says this to us. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, that through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Listen, he says this in verse number 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The Bible reveals God's true plan of salvation. That one passage of scripture would answer every cult that you ever run across, every false religion you ever run across, those few verses I just read to you. This Bible reveals all that to you. But now watch. And I'm a Russian. Can you tell I'm Russian? Because all that was introduction. Oh, I thank God for all the revelation of the Lord, of all the great truths in the Bible. But what thrills my heart more than anything else is what it said in 1 Samuel. It said that the Lord revealed himself to Samuel through the Word of God. Oh, there's only one way to know him, and that's through his Word. He reveals himself through the Word. God the Father, holy, eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all that's revealed in the Word of God. But Jesus, your only hope of heaven is revealed in this book. On Wednesday night, when I've been doing the top 10, I gave this reference where Jesus made this statement, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. That's important, because without Christ, you can't go to heaven. Without Christ, there's no forgiveness of sin. Without Christ, you have no hope, alien from the commonwealth of Israel. But with Christ, you have salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. The Bible reveals Christ, and I wouldn't know him. You'd never known him. You'd never known anything about him had it not been for the Word of God. God reveals Jesus through the Bible. He's revealed in 1 John as the eternal Son and the Creator. It says in John, look in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, just real briefly, if you will. John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And listen to this wonderful testimony. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. It says this, that Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, is the eternal Son of God. He did not become the Son of God at Bethlehem. He became the Lamb of God at Bethlehem. Boy, I shared this with the deacons. I've never been to Israel, but my good friends who went to Israel talked about Bethlehem. Bethlehem's the city of David. And there were royal or priestly shepherds who lived there. And you, on the Day of Atonement, they have to offer a lamb without spot or without blemish. And so in that area around Bethlehem, there were priestly shepherds. You know what the job was? Their job was to watch those sheep. And they were to catch the lambs so they not fall to the ground, not to defile them. And those lambs, they were looking for that perfect lamb in Bethlehem. And no wonder the Lord sent his angels that night to the shepherds who kept watch over their flock by night. They were waiting for that perfect lamb. And he said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. There's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you'll find that lamb wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He never touched the ground, the sinless Lamb of God. My dear friend, the Bible reveals Christ as the virgin born sinless Lamb of God that came to bear your sin. And thank God for that truth. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20 and 23 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 9. In Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 25, and listen to this passage of Scripture. Oh, he revealed himself in the Word of God. He revealed himself as the eternal Son of God and creator of all things. He revealed himself as the virgin-born Lamb of God. He revealed himself in chapter number 9 and verse 25 in the book of Hebrews in this way. He said this, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have oft-suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Word of God reveals Christ as the willing sacrifice for our sin. What an astounding verse. Look at it in the latter part. He appeared once to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He willingly came and suffered and bled and sacrificed himself so that you could be saved and so that I could be saved. That's revealed in the Bible. That's the only way to go to heaven. That's the only way to be saved is through the shed blood of Christ and his sacrifice. The Bible reveals Christ as the eternal Son of God and the creator of all things, as the virgin-born Lamb of God, as the willing sacrifice for our sin. But if you will, please, turn over to Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. I want to show you another revelation from the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 1, will you look at verse number 17? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me and saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to hell and to death. The Bible reveals Christ as the victor over death and hell. He holds the keys of life and death. He defeated death. He is the victor over all of that. While you're in Revelation, turn back just a little ways into Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter number 7, and look at verse number 25. He revealed himself to Samuel by the Word of God. And hallelujah, he's revealed himself to us in the Word of God as the virgin-born Lamb, as the creator of all things, as a willing sacrifice, as a victor over death and hell. But in chapter number 7, look at verse number 25. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come to him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is able to save them that come to him. He reveals himself in the Bible as the Savior of all who will believe and come to him. He said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. You can come to him. If you come to Jesus by faith this morning, if you by faith trust him and receive him, he promised to save you. That's why he came, to sacrifice himself so you could be saved. He wants you to be saved. And he's revealed in the Bible of all, he's able to save to the uttermost those that come to him. He's able to save them, it says, and he's willing to save them if they'll come to him by faith. He's a Savior. But now, in this, also in the same passage of Scripture, notice what else it says. It says, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank the Lord for that. He's ever living to make intercession for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, he is our advocate. He's the one who stands before the Father on our behalf. And so when you come to him and you receive him as Savior, you say, Brother Billy, I don't know if I'll make it. I don't know if I can hold out. Well, he's living. He's praying for you. He told Simon Peter, he said, Simon Peter, he said, you're going to deny me. He said, I will never deny you. He said, yes, you will. You'll deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because he died for me, because he's praying for me. God always answers his prayer. And he does the same thing for you. He's praying for you right now. I'm glad that people share their burdens and cares with me. And I try to pray for people. But I want to remind you this morning, there's somebody who ever liveth to make intercession for you. He prays for you continuously. He continues to make intercession for us. But can I say this to you? While you're here in the book of Hebrews, look over to chapter number 13 and verse number 5. Hebrews 13:5. He's revealed as our Savior. He's revealed as our intercessor. He's revealed as the victor over death, hell, and the grave. He's revealed as the sacrifice for our sin, the virgin-born Son of God, the creator of all things, the eternal Son of God. But in Hebrews chapter, if you will, Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5, and watch what it says in this passage of Scripture. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Here's what it says about him. He's with you. He made a promise. When you trusted him as Savior, he's not ever going to leave you. You may not always be conscious of his presence. That may not be your fault. May he want you to walk by faith and not by sight. But he said, I'm not going to leave you. You may forsake him. My good friend, Brother Craig Edwards, wrote a song one time. Though I fail the Lord, he's never failed me. He's a faithful friend. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says in Matthew chapter 11, that he, coming to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. If you'll come to him, he's a faithful friend. He'll give you rest. He'll carry all your load. But can I say this to you? In the book of Proverbs chapter number 21 and verse 1, it says he has the king's heart in his hand and he turns it whichever way he will. I want to say to you that the Savior, the creator of all things, the one who made all of this, the one who died to give his life for you, the one who will call, if you call him, he'll save you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll make intercession for you all the time. He's also the orchestrator of history. Things are not just happening. He didn't wind up a clock, walk off, and leave it alone. This is his story. He raises up countries and he takes down countries. He raises up kings and he takes down kings. He's not a bit worried about what's going on in this economy, what's going on in this world. He's got everything well in hand. He is the sovereign of this universe. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's in control. I promise he has. He's never relinquished any of his power. He's never left it to the determination of man, the course of history. He has orchestrated the whole thing. God is in control, and he's in control of everything around you. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the orchestrator of history. But also this truth, he is the ultimate victor. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 that he is the King of kings, and he'll rule this whole world, and all the nations would come and bow before him. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. The Bible reveals him as that. And can I say this to you? Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12 and 13, he is the soon coming King. He's coming again. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming soon. He's coming back. I want you to know, my dear friend, if you're getting frustrated by watching Fox News, and that's probably as good as there is to be, balanced and fair, if you watch that and you go crazy as a bed bug, I understand that. If you read the paper and you just get out of sorts, if you sit around McDonald's and talk with everybody and all the country philosophy of what's going on, what's wrong with the world, you'll get defeated and depressed. But if you let the Holy Ghost of God reveal to you who Jesus is, you'll walk around with a different attitude. You'll walk around with the attitude that I don't know what's going on, but he does. I'm not in control, but he is. I'm glad that I'm trusting him. And regardless of what happened, the Bible said, "What shall if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" That's a good question, because the foundations are being destroyed. What are you going to do in these days? The Bible says this, he is the rock of ages. And if you stand on the rock of ages, everything else around you will fall away, but you'll still be standing on the rock of ages when this world melts with a fervent heat. He is in control. He is God. He is the one who's in control of all this universe. God like that, I believe you can trust. You can't trust yourself. You can't trust me. You can't trust religion. But you can trust Jesus. I point you to Christ this morning. He's your only hope of heaven. You'll trust him as Savior, you'll die and go to hell. You'll trust him to meet every need you've got, or you'll go crazy as a bed bug in this world you're living in. You've got to live and trust him. Rest in Christ. Find in him your every need supply. Paul said this. He said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's able. Would you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed. The Bible says that in Shiloh, God revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. When you read this book, under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit of God, it'll change your outlook on what's going on in this world. You'll understand a little bit better about what's happening, but it will build in you faith and confidence in him. And regardless of what happens around you, you can trust him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need faith, you're living in this world today. Many of you spend much time watching the television and reading the newspaper and very little time in your Bible. God will reveal himself to you. And when you know him, over and over again, the Lord says this in regard to Israel. When I do this and when I do this and when I do this, they will know that I am the Lord. He wants you to know that he's the Lord. He wants you to know that he's in control. But only the word of God will reveal that to you. Many of you have made professions of faith in days gone by, and you wrestle around continually with doubt. 1 John chapter 5, verse 24 says this, "These things have I written unto you, that you might know that you have eternal life." I cannot give a person in here assurance of salvation. I wouldn't if I could. Being around church folk won't give you an assurance of your salvation. Listening to good gospel music will not give you an assurance that you're saved. "These things have I written that you might know." The only source of assurance of salvation is in this book. And if you'll read it, the Holy Ghost of God will build faith in you and you'll understand. Will you trust him? He's revealed in this book as a Savior of all who will come to him. And he loves you today. It's no accident that you're here. No accident that you're listening by the means of radio or on the internet. God the Holy Ghost wants you to know who Jesus is and that he's able to meet every need you've got. Will you come to him today? Will you in simple faith receive Christ as your Savior and Lord? Will you take that step of faith? If you're here in the building, I promise you if you'll take one step to the nearest aisle, God will bring you the rest of the way. Would you come? There are men and women who will pray with you, help you. Men who will pray with the men, ladies who will pray with the ladies. If you're not saved today, will you trust him and know 100% sure that you're saved? If you're a Christian, you're going through battles and difficulty, what you need is the faith in God. It didn't come any other place but through the word of God. I love to pray. I try to pray. I'm not a good prayer. But can I say it? Faith doesn't come through praying. It comes through the revelation of God and the word of God. It is imperative that you read this Bible, that you spend time in it. Maybe you've not been doing that. Maybe you ought to come and say, "Lord, I want to thank you for the word of God. Forgive me for neglecting the word of God. And God, use it in my life to build into my life what needs to be there. Feed me from the word of God. Use me. Show me the Lord." Maybe you want to make that commitment. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart, Brother Brad's been faithful to you this morning, leading the congregational music, the choir selection. I believe that Chuck minded you, Lord. What a blessing to know that we can choose to believe. Lord, I want to thank you for Brother Danny this morning. God, I thank you, God, for the great truth of the song. And I believe these men have minded you this morning. God, I know this morning, as best I know how, I've minded you. God, I don't want to see people flounder around, tossed to and fro, unsettled, no faith, no strength. And God, you don't want that either. That's why you gave your word, that they be henceforth no longer tossed to and fro. God, help them to have a firm foundation of the word of God in their heart and life. I pray, God, that if there's a lost man, a woman, a girl right here, right now, that God, by your sweet Holy Spirit of God, already you've convicted them and they'll take a step of faith.